Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haru the Seven Oracle. Most know me also as Keaton Boyd. And today, guys, I am going to, this is Spiritual Soul Sunday. It's really the same thing, y'all. Spiritual Soul Sunday, you know, comes more from the soul. Although, you know, Enhancing Awareness Radio itself is one big classroom where we learn, we grow together. You know, I like to just listen and I like to be a student. This is one of the weekends, right? I did yesterday as far as the Orisha is concerned. And then today I'm doing the Orisha Ashu. And guys, when it comes to the energies of the deities of the Orishas, you know, again, like I was saying, I am still a student, right? And I like to learn and grow with you guys, right? Now, I have done base to intermediate studies when it comes to Orishas, okay? So if you guys, you know, if anybody out there knows any information or anybody, you know, who's scholared on the Orishas or, you know, just want to help out as far as pointing to a direction, guys, you can always contact me in the show notes. Definitely appreciate that. So, yeah, like I said, we always learning and growing here at Enhancing Awareness Radio. And I compiled, right? You guys know I love to pull lectures, right? So I compiled a few lectures. The first few lectures are going to be on the Orisha Street. Well, really, the kind of like an introduction of the spiritual warriors, you know what I'm saying, of the, the Orisha warriors, right? So, Eleni, I love her, guys. All of the clips are going to be in the show notes, okay, after the podcast. So don't worry, guys. And like I say, please utilize and do your own research. Go subscribe to all of the people's channels that I'm utilizing. I appreciate everybody who shared, who I chose to pull as far as, you know, to be featured on Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. These channels have helped me out a great, great deal in my spiritual walk. So, I encourage you guys to please go subscribe. The last lecture that I'm going to use is going to be, I love her. I forget her name because she's new in my research studies, but I love the warrior energy when it comes to the goddess warrior, right? So, just guys, you know, if you, whoever you like or whoever you fancy or whoever you are drawn to as far as the voice or anything like that, because I'm kind of going on a few different frequencies here, right? But always remember, you know, it's the message, right? And then whatever a shoe means to you, whatever the spiritual warriors mean to you, you know what I mean? It's just a springboard. You know, these podcasts and these shows are just springboards for you to navigate and do your own research. I shared that this season was back to the basics, you know what I'm saying? So we're just getting back to basic studies, and Orishas, right, are a part of those basic studies, like kind of spirituality 101 is what I like to coin myself, you know, that I, teach on. So shout out to Brother Rich, you know, Black Magic 363, go subscribe to that channel as well. A lot of great information, guys, but, you know, we in Hermit season, winter time, you know what I'm saying? So it's a great time for study. You know what I mean? So, again, thank you for being with me at Enhancing Awareness Radio. Definitely appreciate it, guys. And, you know, I'll be here to talk throughout the show. But spiritual warriors, and then the male and female perspective of issue. And then we're going to go into current events, guys. I think you guys will love, love, love the lecture on the current events that I'm going to close out with. And there is a book. I will include the book, or go in yesterday's podcast. You should go back to that. I included the link to by Grasping the Root of Divine Power, okay? It's a green, red, and what are the African colors? Whatever the African colors are. Oh, they said, I don't know. But whatever the African colors are, that's how the book looks. So Grasping the Root of Divine Power, wonderful book, guys. It talks about divination, talks about saging. I don't know if he talks about Palo Santo in there, but definitely a starter guide. I used to always reference as a starter guide for you to, you know, do your own research. Don't believe me. Do your research, okay? So here's a springboard to a shoe, you guys. I hope you guys enjoy it. And then also the current events. And again, the links are going to be in the show notes for you guys to go subscribe to their channels. And I'll be back periodically and or to close out.
Hi, I'm Eleni from the Botanic.
I'm sorry, guys. Hold on. Woo, what happened? All right, so wow. Okay. Hold on.
They have avatars in all different things. So today we're going to talk about the warriors. Remember, give me a thumbs up, hit the bell for notifications, and the description box below. Click on that link, send me your email address so that you can be on our exclusive YouTube channel list. So let's get started. So today I thought we could talk a little bit about the concepts that Orishas oversee. And so the warrior orishas are really fundamental orishas. They're a part of the beginning process for people who are interested in the orisha faith. As I said in many times in many videos, the orisha faith comes from the Yoruba tradition, religion, and people in Nigeria. Through the Middle Passage, now in the New World, it is called Lukumi and Santeria, which is the same, all the same deities. The deities may have different names slightly, but they embody the same thing. So in different traditions, for those of you who are watching who are not in traditional African practices like these, in your traditions you may have, in the Hindu faith, in different traditional faiths or earth-based religions, they have different deities that do the same thing. In Wudu from Benin, which is also honored in Haiti and all around the world, similar energies are there as well. So I want you to hear what's happening today for people who are interested in Orisha, but also take that information and apply it to whatever your tradition is, because I think that that could be very helpful for you. So today we start with Elegba, E-L-E-G-B-A. Elegua, E-L-E-G-U-A. You'll see his name written many ways. Achu, and so on, right? So when we talk about doing open road work, that term has come from this Orisha Elegba, or the deities that say, go this way, go that way, we have choices in life. So Elegba is the Orisha of choice. When people get divination or they get readings, Orisha readings, Elegba's the one that speaks to them. When I give Orisha readings, I tell people, Elegba's the one that's speaking to you through your destiny to Oludumare. So Oludumare is considered as God in the Yoruba faith. So that information is transferred about you. So if I came for a reading and I say, oh, you know, I make my prayer before my reading, this is what that's going on for me, he is the one that is the messenger and the communicator to give information. So people deal with Elegba for first guidance. Guidance equals direction, remedies for situations, but also to have more information on their life path. Are they in alignment with their destiny? Are they in alignment with the things that they want to do and want to achieve? Elegba's number is 3, and duplicates thereof, 21, and so on. He's thought of as having 121 faces. Many people who have Elegba all over the world deal with many different ways. At the end of the day, it's still that energy of the road opener. So as I said before, his number is 3, duplicates of that. 21, his colors are red and black and white. Red, black, and white. So most people are used to seeing red and black. This is mine that I have, which is black and white. Where is that? Mine is black and white, but people have red, black and white, red and black. All variations of that. People oftentimes will see Elegba by the door because, again, this is a concept of the opening and the closing, right? We open the door by choice and we close it, right? So in life, doors open for opportunities and they close for when that opportunity is over, or when people appeal to Elegba for help and guidance, he will say, that door is not open to you. Sometimes we need to ask him to open the door, and so on and so forth. He's thought of to live at the crossroads. Again, this concept of decision-making, right, left, forward, backward, right? People who take my advanced trainings, we can kind of peel that onion and go more into this idea of the next layer of these deities, the next layer of what they do, how we work with them, other things that are associated with them, which are not in kind of the beginner phase. Olegba also, his libations, and all of the warriors, for the most part, I'm going to show you a little bit of libation at the end. I'm going to give them a little offering at the end of this video. So we'll see what that is that you would give to them, all right? So then the next warrior outside of Olegba, or Elegua, is Ogun, O-G-U-N. He also goes by the name Ogu, O-G-U. In Benin, he's called Ogu, and Vodou is called Ogu. In the Yoruba faith, he's called Ogun, who is the primordial blacksmith. He is the way maker in a different way. He is the groundbreaker. So when you want to do something to establish yourself, you appeal to Ogun. He's thought of as the primordial worker. He is the Orisha that they say works 24 hours, all the time, all the time. So in my own life and with my own godchildren, I love to tell them that Ogun is really the Orisha of the Industrial Revolution. He is the Orisha of the Internet. The Internet is something intangible that taps into the tangible, right? So Ogun is thought of as the Orisha who brought human beings to be able to live on Earth. In other words, he is the one that allowed the way on the golden chain to Earth that the Orishas could descend to Earth. He is the one that is thought of to have made the earth in a way that human beings could live here with his magical machete, so to speak. So Ogun is an Orisha that you're going to appeal to, or any deity that is a groundbreaker like that. For people who receive Ogun, he has tools in his pot because he's a blacksmith. And you need tools to make the way. You need tools to break ground. You need tools to plant seeds. You need tools to reap, right? So Ogun is an Orisha to appeal to for movement in your life, right? So Olegba's the one to help give you the decisions, give you the guidance on where to act, how to act. But Ogun is an Orisha of action. Okay, now we got the information. Let's go make a breakthrough, right? So Ogun's colors are green and black. Sorry, I hesitated there because in Africa he can have a different color. In the diaspora, he is green and black is the colors that people see with him most often. And here I have a candle for Ogun, green and black. All right. His alekes, I have him here. When people receive his alekes, green and black. Same thing for Olegba, same thing for Ochosi that we'll go on to. So Ogun is also, we see him in the train tracks. Anything that is metal, anything that is forged is Ogun. It's his vibration. Your car is owned by Ogun. The train that you ride on is owned by Ogun. The plane that you fly in is owned by Ogun. He's everywhere and in everything. Why? Because he is a foundational Orisha that deals with the foundation of humanity. All right? So then we have Ochosi, the bow and arrow. So people who receive warriors, they get the bow and arrow. This is a deity unto himself. We have a candle here for Ochosi. His colors are normally blue and gold. And one of his numbers is 7 and 2. He deals with being the tracker. Thinks about, what do we really need to do? What's the best way to do this? What's the most direct way to do it? Remember, Ochosi is the bow and arrow. Straight to the point. How do I get to the point of things? How do I get that resolution as quickly, as surely as possible? And just a tidbit, Ochosi is in the forest. He is the forest deity. All of the Orishas are, all of these warrior Orishas are outside energies. And we can have a bigger conversation on, well, if they're outside energies, how come I have them inside my house? Well, people who receive these energies are really getting a spark that lives with them. And this is how you can have them in your home. Those of you who have received warriors, definitely I invite you to ask your elders more about this conversation. So Ochosi deals with animals in the woods. He deals with all different kinds of birds. He is the hunter. He is the bow and arrow. He is the tracker, right? So we think about these different ideas of how we can track down our opportunities in life, how we can track down the things that are good for us, and so on and so forth. And Osun, this guy, little rooster, he is like your antenna, right? Keep your head up. What does the rooster do? He sits on top of something and he looks and makes sure that everything is okay. He's to make his noises the first thing in the morning. Hey, time to get up. Alert, 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 right? So people, when they receive warriors, they receive also the rooster called Osun. And he is thought of as being a person's human alarm and also the one that helps to tap into their consciousness. So his numbers oftentimes are also seen in 4 and in 7. All of the warriors can be found in 7. So when people receive them in the diaspora, they receive all 4 of these orishas in that one ceremony. Whether they receive it from a babalao or whether they receive it from a Orisha priest, they're still leaving with similar energies. In another video, we'll talk a little bit more about Eshu. And Eshu is a manifestation of Allegra that is given by the babalao. So I hope that you guys got a lot of good information today. You got some ideas about the tracker, the road opener, the groundbreaker. And I hope that you're breaking a lot of good ground in your life. So I told you I was going to show you just a little food thing, right? So some of you guys who have warriors, or you may have just an unconsecrated stone head or a rock or something in your home, those of you who have warriors, you already know what to do. But for those of you who are thinking about having warriors, this is what you're going to do. So me, I like to take the either gin or rum. You can spray it, or you can just put drops inside, right? And put some drops inside if you choose. I like to spray it. Right? You're going to do that. You're going to make prayer. Say what it is that you would like. Excuse me. This is one of my favorite parts, where all the smoke sits inside of Ogun's pot. So delicious. So delicious, where you get to see that energy just swirling it around. That is such great confirmation that Orisha's here and that Orisha's alive. So make your prayer, have your breakthrough, and see you next time. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this video, like us, share us with others, give me a thumbs up, hit the bell for notifications.
All right, guys. That was a great intro into getting to know the warrior, the warrior Reese's. And yesterday, I did a podcast on Akoshi. I did a podcast on him yesterday. So go back and watch that. But that was definitely a good one. Excuse me, guys. So let's get into Eshu, right? So remember, he goes by many names, but they're the male perspective and then the female perspective and then current again, okay?
And then I'm starting a whole new series of relationships. I'm going to be Okay. In Yoruba, there are six great five treasures, huh? Long life, money, relationship, family, career, and that order. Right? You live long, you make the money, right? You get money, you can have a relationship. Right? You can afford your partner, right? You get a partner, you can have children. Your children, you then become someone of passion and desire. The sixth one here is the story of the yeah. So, you get some money, next to a new kid, okay, you're going to take another foundation date. I see. So, we're going to start with the angle. Okay. I see you.
$30,000 or more a year.
Correct dimension? I'm serious. I don't want you projecting any lower than 30 grand a year. The only one I'll set 30 grand for is the young 17-year-old.
That's how
she comes to class. He's the only one. Okay? That's his beginning salary. Okay? Before he's in college. I want to get a sense of the range of your cups. So, people who are aiming, honestly aiming, X, 50 grand a year, just say I. 80. I mean, your honest intention is to make this area hundreds.
Think good. Yes, I can.
eyes on the camera. If the camera shutter is open, it will see a permanent picture because the camera shutter lens makes up the camera's eye. All that I see with my eyes, Baru, makes a permanent impression on me, like a picture. If I think good, my mind and my eye will be open to see good. Can I see good whenever I look? Wherever I look? I am an electric lamp. A lamp can be turned on and off. When turned on, it can only be turned on when plugged into when I'm not thinking good, I'm turned off because thinking good is my state of power. Thinking good, we can say thinking of all of you guys. Right? That's what thinking good means in action. I think of a supreme being. I think that supreme being and I are very close. If you believe that, you have positive thoughts.
All right. I think that that was great. It's very important, you guys, when it comes to positive thoughts. And it seems like in this space now, this energy space that we're in, that's very vital and very important when it comes to positive thoughts. So what helped me in my journey and what still helps me is, you know, our mind is like a program, right? Our mind is like a program. So, you know, a lot of our thoughts are like automatic. So, you know, the stop sign. I use the stop sign method for years, y'all. And, like, every time I, you know, witness, let's say, the negative program, I always say stop. You know, like, stop it, that is not you, that. Stop it. These are not my thoughts. There's a lot of projecting going on. You know what I mean? These are not my projections. You know, you have to, you don't have to, but a good suggestive is to rewrite it on site. You know what I mean? So rewrite it, rerouting your thoughts on site. You know, I don't like to tell people to just disown their thoughts because they're your thoughts and they came through you for a reason, right? So, like, examine. You know, examine why is this playing in my mind? What is it that I'm not feeling? What, you know what I mean? So definitely a great thing, guys. And if you ever need to contact me for a session, my link tree is in the show notes, guys. I do intuitive soul sessions, you know, about anything. You know, sometimes you just need a friend, you know. A lot of times you don't have anyone to talk to. So, you know, you can contact me utilizing the information in the show notes. So, a goon, a shoe, you know, many of the other research guys, is definitely, this podcast is just really like a springboard to get you to doing your own research on what the research means for you, right? So here's another one, the feminine aspect of a shoe, and then we'll go into the lecture of current events.
Hello, you all. I am Black with Yaya, and today I'm doing the story of Eshu Legba. This is a re-upload with visual factors and more information, and parts 1 through 3, all in one video. So I hope you all enjoy. The crystal of the day is the Power Vision Amulet. The Eye of Oris is a symbol of protection, good health, and royal authority, and the Ox symbolizes both mortal existence and the afterlife, and the balance between masculine and feminine energy, and you can get your Power Vision Amulet from blackwitchyaya.com. All right, y'all, so let's get into the story of Eshu. So first, Eshu is the divine messenger of Ifa, so he facilitates communication between the transcendent spiritual forces and humans. So when it comes to rituals and spell work or seeking anything out into the spiritual world or universe, nothing can be done without the power of Eshu, simply because he is the messenger between us and the spiritual world. So whenever we speak out, whenever we're doing a spell with our intention to deliver a message or to get something done, it is Eshu who's the messenger between the two of us. So correlating all of that, it makes sense to say that Eshu is the guardian of the gateway, which is why all spell work and rituals begin and end with the prayers to Eshu, because he is the messenger. Our words would just be going out into the world without any destination if it wasn't for Eshu. So with Eshu being the divine messenger, he kind of has a unique way on how he delivers his messages, which is why you probably heard a lot of people refer to him as a trickster. So some people kind of find this intimidating, knowing that Eshu is a trickster, but they're kind of scared to speak to him or scared of what they may say may be wrong because he may flip it or twist it. And some people may even refer to this as being demonic because they correlate being a trickster, playing tricks on someone, as lying and deceiving. But honestly, it is Eshu's unique way of delivering messages that teaches us lessons, gives us a new perspective, gives us a different outlook on the situation that we're going through, and kind of gives us that aha moment. So taking a break for a quick tidbit, because I know that demonic part may have confused some people, so I want to explain this. So the people who refer to Eshu as demonic or the devil are the same people who defy the power of nature at the end of the day. Because when you sit and think about it, when you're doing your manifestations, when you're doing your rituals, when you're doing your spell work, when you're doing anything spiritual, nature is involved. When you do your spell work, you're using all types of herbs found outside. When you're manifesting, if you manifest under the moon, you're using what nature provides. Or whatever you're doing, nature is involved somehow. So when people call spirituality or spell work wicked, it's kind of like, so you think me burning sage right now is the devil? I mean, you do know this is lineage the sixth, right, that I'm just lighting. But you think this is the devil? I found it. You can go outside and find it, you know? It's kind of like, okay, you find this demonic, but it's more natural than anything else you can encounter. And for me, this is just my opinion from my studies, and I do agree with this. Nothing is actually demonic. A demon, the devil, is a human creation that is manifested through the actions of people. So if people say something is demonic, something is the devil, that's just your own interpretation of what you refuse to believe. Because, you know, people in different religions tend to think anything outside of this is the devil because that's what I was taught. So you burning sage is evil because you should be using holy water or what you call that, anointing oil. So some people are so closed off to the point that they defy the power of nature. And with Eshu being over land, he's the divine messenger. He's associated with nature. So one of his things is if you disrespect nature, you're disrespecting him and you're disrespecting the power that they both have. So I said all of that to say when people refer to Eshu as demonic or just demonize him in general, it's actually his tricky ways that gives us a new perspective and gives us an opportunity for growth. Because sometimes when we go through life thinking the same exact way, operating the same exact way, and she was like, okay, so let me mix this up a bit. You know, like I said in my previous stories, and she was like, huh, yawn, I'm bored. Let's turn this up a bit. Let's change it up. You're thinking too much. You're becoming too much in the pattern. Let's really focus on how we can get you to grow. And the best way to grow is changing your environment. So that's when Eshu was like, okay, we're going to take this, we're going to flip it like this, so she could think like this now. She might not get it at the moment, but at the end, it's all going to make sense. So with Eshu being referred to as a trickster, and he also has very childlike characteristics as well, this is why I wanted to do it in the month of October, because there is a correlation with Eshu and Halloween. If you grew up like me, you were told that Halloween is the devil's birthday. And with Eshu being referred to as the devil because he's tricky, you can kind of see how him and Halloween have a correlation, trick or treat. Eshu loves anything sweet. He has a very childlike personality. And you wouldn't expect it with him having such a powerful role, but with him being so powerful and having so many responsibilities, it also shows you that it's important to relax and just keep your childlike energy intact. So to make Eshu's tricky ways kind of make more sense on how it can be good and teach you a lesson, I want to share with you two stories that relate to both. One story where something good happened in the end, and a second story where a lesson had to be taught to some people. First, let's start off with the lesson. So there were two men who grew up together as children. They shared meals, they played together, they shared their ideas. They were so close to the point they called each other brothers. So both of these young men had a real interest in farming, so they actually grew up to become farmers. So once the two young men hit the age of puberty, they were initiated into Ifa. So on that day of initiation, they were told, you guys are so close to the point that your wealth is going to depend on each other because you built such a strong bond. You're going to have farms that are adjacent to each other. You're going to grow prosperous. When you learn something, he's going to learn something. When he grows, you will grow. You guys will work together so well. Also, the Babalawo told them something else that's very important. It will be Eshu who will teach you the mystery of cooperation, the mystery of the forest, the mystery of farming, and the mystery of invocation. And all you have to do is just make regular offerings to Eshu to thank him so he can continue guiding you and teaching you those mysteries. And if you don't, Eshu will pull you apart, and you will grow old in poverty. So let's take a break right here. The reason why, if they're pulled apart, they will grow old in poverty, because remember I told you before, the Babalawo told them, your abundance depends on each other because you guys are so close. So when one is rich, the other is rich. When one learns something new, the other will learn something new as well. So all they had to do was just make regular offerings to Eshu. That's it. Just give him some offerings, and you'll just live your life beautiful and wonderful. So after that day, the two young men kind of didn't believe what they were told. They were like, listen, we grew up together. We've been best friends since we were little. Nothing can tear us apart. All these years, all the things we've been through, I doubt making one little offering or two little offerings to Eshu could really pull us apart. I mean, we've been friends for this long. Like, seriously, what was he talking about? So they both decided not to make any offerings to Eshu. They're like, you know what? We've been doing good so far. We're living pretty good. Our farms are flourishing. We're good to go. So years went by. The two young men were married. Their farms are located right next to each other, just like the Babalawo said. So they were like, listen, we're living good. What was he talking about? Look, years have passed, and we're still living it up. With their farms being right next to each other, there was this path that separated the two farms. No one walked down this path. They never seen anyone walk down that path in the years that they had their farms there. It was just an abandoned path that just separated the two farms. So one day, Eshu decided to take a walk along that path. He's very curious, just like a child. So he was like, let me walk down here, see what's down here. So along his walk, he noticed the two men that were supposed to make offerings to him. But he looked like, okay, that's the farm. All right, there's another farm. But when I entered the village, I didn't see any offerings. I never received anything from them. They're working on my land and they didn't make an offering to me? I thought they were told to do so. Right now, in this moment, as she realizes, like, hey, they never made an offering to me. I'm the one that holds the mystery to farming because I'm over the land. So what do they think that they're doing? But they were flourishing so much to the point where the men thought they discovered the mystery of farming without making that offering to Eshu. So this is when Eshu was like, okay, so y'all been warned. Y'all got away with this for a couple years. Let me get to work. So this is when Eshu veered off the path a little bit and hid amongst the trees. And while in the trees, he painted half of his face red and half of his face white. So once he was done painting his face and both sides were evenly covered, one side red and one side white, he began to continue to walk along the path singing a song. But his song was a little shady. He was warning them all along. The lyrics to the song were, "The word of the divine messenger is always true." While he's walking and singing his song, the farmers both look up like, wait, someone's walking along this path. We've never seen anyone. Eshu approaches the two men. He doesn't say anything, but he just looks at them while they look at him with confusion. Then he uses his fingers to back down to their crops, and he continues to walk and sing. So after he leaves a good distance, the farmer to the left told the farmer to the right, did you see that man singing with the red face? Farmer to the right said, no, but I saw a man with a white face singing and walking down the path. But you know when you get in an argument with your friend over something so simple and you both believe that you are right, and in this case they both were right, one person seeing red, the other person seeing white. But this kind of went from a simple argument into a very deep argument. They thought that the other one was calling them stupid. You're blind. You don't know what you're talking about. It went from discussing color to just insulting each other, so they both got into a really big scramble. This simple argument turned into a whole tussle, and they ended up ruining so much of their crops from tussling in the farm. From this side to that side, it turned into a big fight. Before they knew it, they were rumbling all over the ground, just ruining all of their crops. And from that day, they just felt so insulted by each other that they never spoke again. And remember before, they were told that their riches and their abundance depends on each other. So with them not talking anymore, they both began to fail. They ruined so much crops that it caused a food shortage. They were not able to make the money that they were supposed to make. They ended up losing their farm, losing their home, losing their abundance, and most importantly, losing each other.
You know something, you guys? This is the shit that we're going through right now. You know, it's like the raft. You know what I'm saying? Well, excuse me, not for everyone, okay? But for some people, it's the raft of the ungrateful, in a sense. You know what I mean? And I think the message in this is that, you know, if we don't work together, you know what I mean, we'll end up destroying each other, you know, naturally. You know what I mean? So, powerful point. I love this one. And I love learning with you all.
Because they did not obey and make an offering, consistent offering, to Eshu. Now, I know this story can seem a little bit scary for people who are just stepping into the spiritual world and want to know, so how do I know to make an offering to an Orisha? Well, how do I do this or how do I do that? Most of the time, if you're not sure, you're not going to be punished for not knowing. But when someone you trust that's initiated or not initiated, a spiritual advisor tells you, hey, you need to make an offering to an Orisha. You need to pour some honey on a sunflower. You need to place a coconut by the crossroads. When they literally tell you to do it in order for something to happen or to protect you, and you just blatantly disobey, that's when you'll notice little things start to fall apart, so you might want to get on it. In this case, in this story, they were literally told, hey, if you want all these riches and abundance consistently, just give some offerings to Eshu and you'll have all you need, something so simple. And I feel like I can tell 100 different versions of this story from listening to my boyfriend, the Baron, have different clients where he just tells them, hey, you need to place this by your door so you can be protected. You need to drop $10 off at your local Botanica to thank Ogun. I've heard so many times where people are saying, oh, I was busy, I couldn't do it, or, oh, I'm living good, I don't have to do it no more. Oh, everything was fine, there's no need for me to do it. Then everything starts to fall apart just because they didn't do something so simple. Most of the time, it's usually not anything out of your way. It could be going to the store, picking up some strawberries, and giving it to your Maya. Something so simple, and people don't find the time to do it. I feel like it's not that big of a deal. Then the Orisha are going to be like, you know what, well, that thing that you want is not that big of a deal, or your protection is not that big of a deal. This is one of the examples where Eshu Trick had to teach people a lesson, like, hey, you were told to give offerings to me, but you didn't. Now look, yeah, you're living good for some years, but you never know when I'll come, but you're going to get that lesson. And this is why he's also associated with karma. What goes around comes around. So he's a messenger. So many people think that they give messages out into the universe verbally, but it could be done by your actions as well. If you hurt someone, if you wrong someone, it's going to come right back around to you because it is a shoe that's carrying that message that you put into the universe, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. That's why it's also important to treat people well because you never know what may come back around to you and how it's translated. So the more you do good to people, the more good that will come to you. So let me explain a little more of Eshu and karma. So first, as we just told that story, let's talk about good karma. So for example, my boyfriend and I, we love to tip our waiters at restaurants. I'm not trying to sound like, you know, we tip, but just the energy that is associated with it. First of all, they are a servant to you at that very moment. So it's good to pay the service and good to pay the people that work for you and work with you, especially if they're nice and all that good stuff. But let me get into the energy. When you have a waitress, right, and you tip her really good, let's just say you tip her $50, right, she's going to be so excited of that $50 you gave her. That good energy is put into the universe based off of something you gave her. So that action of giving is going to be translated right back to you. So you're going to receive abundance as well. That's why they say in order to make money, you got to open that hand. Scary money don't make money. in order to make more money, you have to put money out into the universe, because that good energy that she was going to put over at $50, you could probably help her pay a bill. You probably made her have a good day. I had a good tip day. This table tipped me $50. Oh, my gosh, I'm so thankful. So the universe is going to associate her being thankful for that tip with the person who gave her that tip, and then translate it right back to you because you were the cause of that positive energy. And that works the same for negative energy. So if you curse out somebody, you insult someone, and you ruin their whole day, they're so sad, they're grieving, they can't get anything done, they're stressed about it, the universe is going to carry that message right back to the person that caused it. Any messages that are being translated and moved about is due to Eshu. So that's why they kind of consider him a trickster, because it could be good or it could be bad. And this is where the term trick or treat comes from. Like, you want good energy or you want bad energy. And this is why I wanted to do this in the month of October, because there's a connection with him and Halloween as well. So I just want to make those everyday correlations, because there's so many spiritual symbolism in our everyday lives we tend to ignore because it seems so simple, but it's complex at the end. This is why Eshu can be the divine messenger, or at times the divine enforcer when he has to teach someone a lesson. So for this next story, I want to give an example of how Eshu tricks can have a happy ending. And I really like this story because I love love. For anything that's love correlated, I'm like, mm-hmm. So one day there was a man who wanted a wife. He just wanted to get married and love someone so badly. So he consulted his ephod priest and was like, hey, I really want a wife. Can you help me out? What do I need to do? Consult the spirits and guide me because I'm ready to wife somebody up. So he was advised to get a knife and take it to the market so he could select an offering for Eshu. So he immediately did that. He grabbed his knife and was like, listen, I want me a wife. If she want an offering, I got you. So he went over to the market with his knife, and he went up to one of the tables to get Eshu some yams. He was looking for the right yam. Like, okay, I like this one. I like this one. So as he was going to select his yam, Eshu came up along behind him and pushed him. So while he was being pushed, the knife he had accidentally cut a young lady on her head. That just wasn't any young lady having a little station at the market. She was the daughter of the chief. So immediately when the people in the market discovered what happened, they were so upset with him. Like, who is this cut that comes up here and damaged the daughter of the chief? So they were so upset with him. They wanted him to leave. They wanted to kick him out. So he was so embarrassed, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. He began to walk away until Eshu came up and was like, listen, it was an accident. He tripped. He didn't mean to do it. You know what? Matter of fact, young man, why don't you take care of this young lady until she feels better, okay? So if you want to cut her, now you have to take care of her. So the young man was like, of course, because I did this, I'll take care of her, no problem. Just please don't be mad at me. I just came here for some offerings for you, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. So he began to take care of the young lady, and while he was taking care of her, they both fell in love, and they got married, and that became his wife. Now, I know what you're thinking. Did Eshu really have to push him in order for him to find a wife? But that's just Eshu's childlike style, like, you know, I'm going to push you, and then boom, you're going to find a wife. He couldn't easily just make them make eye contact and fall in love. He had to play some type of trick to get that childlike energy out. But that's just an example of how one of his simple tricks can actually lead to something good. And it wasn't just a simple fact of Eshu pushing him. He decided to do that just because the young man went out his way to go to the market to make the offering to Eshu. Before he did, as he was told, he was making an offering to give thanks, and he was happy. Now, I also want to make a correlation to my story that I did before with Ogun. Because this young man in the story, and usually people who resemble or have different symbols and colors of an Orisha in the story, usually symbolizes that specific Orisha. So in this example, the young man, he had a knife. The knife was a machete. He was going to cut up the offering and give it to Eshu. Now, if you watch my Ogun story, I mentioned something like, oh, you know, Ogun was eating the yams. Y'all know why he had to have those yams, because that was the moment he met and fell in love with his wife eventually as he was taking care of her. So in this story, we're going to learn about making truth, making fairness, and also where he has learned that his gift will bring him many gifts along with it. So one day after eating a roasted yam that he was advised to eat, many of y'all know that part of the story already, but we'll fast forward to this part. So as I mentioned in my Ogun story of Ogun eating the yams and he grew thirsty, Now, I know you may be confused because in that story he was eating the yams, and in this story he's getting the yams as an offering. In both cases, it's true. Usually when you're giving an offering of food to an Orisha, it is respectful for you to taste the food first, just to kind of show them, like, hey, it's not poisoning. I'm eating it. I'm having communion with you. We're both enjoying this food together. It's safe, and it's for you. It's polite to eat it first or eat some of it first just to symbolize that it's safe. A lot of people do this practice just to show respect, then give it. So when he was eating the yams in that story, he was preparing to give an offering to SU. Hence why I'm doing SU right after, because I tried to make them both correlate. And both situations are just basically symbolism, because when you want something, it's always to take on the power of your Orisha. So using something that they use usually signifies you taking the power of that Orisha. So in this example, he was channeling Ogun, so he took his machete, his knife with him. If you need to channel Oshun, you might put some honey on. I have like a sunflower in your hair. I wear yellow. So this just shows when you want something to take the power of that Orisha with you. So this story simply says, hey, when you do what you're told and you give thanks and give offerings to your Orisha, they'll look out for you. Now, sometimes it may not be someone specifically telling you, like, hey, you need to go here and do this. But sometimes when you're getting that reoccurring, it's like, I need to go to the beach. I need to be near the water. I need to buy some sunflowers. I need to do something. Try to really listen to that thought and try to figure out what they are saying. Try to ask them to communicate it clearly through dreams just so you know for sure. But sometimes if you keep getting that reoccurring thought, like, I need to go to a crossroads. I need to lay something out at the railroad. Like, if you keep getting it, keep getting it, that's a way of the Orisha trying to communicate with you, like, hey, I know you want this, and, you know, I want some candy, so take care of that. And you can always get confirmation from your spiritual advisors, from tarot card readers, just to make sure that you're thinking the right way, because I know sometimes when we're new in spirituality, we try to study stuff, and we kind of second-guess ourselves, because it's like, who are we to get messages from the universe? But we're actually that powerful where we have the universe within us, so we should always listen to messages from the universe. We are going to cover the Elegba portion of the SU story as a whole. Who is Elegba? Are they the same people? What does one do over the other? Why do they have two different names? So let's dive deep into that. So like I stated in my previous video, SU has many different facets and elements to him. And with that, when it comes to learning about the Orisha, many people think that SU and Elegba are two completely different Orisha. They have nothing to do with each other, when in actuality, it's just a different name for the same spiritual element. So you might have heard many people refer to Eshu as Eshu Elegba. They kind of say it within the same realm because they're talking about both facets. Now, when it comes to the Elegba portion, this is considered the warrior version of Eshu. Eshu is the divine messenger, the trickster, but when it comes time to war and for protection, that's when he kind of pull out his Elegba side. So staying in that realm of being the divine messenger, Elegba mainly focuses on carrying messages of people who are dealing with stress, are dealing with major obstacles that need to be removed, and kind of deals with the fight. So this is when you pull out the warrior version of Eshu. So during a time period of slavery, this is when many people feel that Elegba was used the most because it was a time for war, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So due to those conditions, this is where they feel that Elegba was mostly utilized and brought to the forefront. So Elegba is a guardian, a communicator, and a warrior. And many people have an Eshu altar and an Elegba altar in their home. One on the inside, one on the outside. Typically, people keep Eshu on the outside and Elegba on the inside. And when you break down Elegba's name, the E-L-E means messenger, and the A-G-B-A-R-A means power of authority. So when it comes to the Orisha, usually their names are symbolic and have a deeper meaning as well. So you can't really separate the two because they both go hand in hand. So saying, oh, this is Eshu and this is Elegba, you're talking about the same Orisha, just different elements that can be utilized. So even though both facets of that Orisha work hand in hand, you will find people who have an Eshu altar outside to protect their home and an Elegba, Papa Legba altar inside their home. Many people feel that since Eshu is the trickster, you don't want him in your household because there are a lot of people who experience confusion or different things that they think are happening but not happening, and just a little bit of chaos going on in their home. We like to keep him on the outside to stray away, to keep away people, while keeping Papa Legba inside the home to remain that protector and that warrior inside the household. So you really have to be careful when you're doing your research when it comes to Eshu Legba, Papa Legba, because there are going to be many articles that just strictly associate him with the devil due to his appearance, his tricks and ways, and his warrior ways. So you really just have to understand Eshu Legba is a very neutral Orisha. You do good, you're going to do good. You do bad, you're going to see the result of it. It's not a, well, you know, they're usually good, so let me just give them this, and it's this or that. Very much so neutral. You do as you're told, good things will happen. You do bad, you want to get your karma. So it's very neutral. So many people feel like, oh, you play tricks, you're evil. When it's I play tricks and I fight to add protection and a new perspective. So think of it like this. The Eshu Legba is mainly the code and the messenger. He makes sure you do right. Whatever you put out into the universe, he carries that message. So be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. So don't think that you're always doing something wrong. Just know if someone tells you, like, hey, you might want to give an offering to Legba Eshu at the crossroads, you might want to do so because he is the guardian over the crossroads, and that is also symbolic. If you have a decision to make or you don't know what to do, it's best to go to Eshu so he can really direct you and clear a path because he is that messenger that will lead you along the way and protect you while doing it as well. So with Eshu led by being the same spirit, what we can say is Eshu is the more trickster, devious version, while Elegba is a more calmer and warrior version. He's more neutral. He's more like, okay, let's take this bit by bit, while Eshu is like, okay, let's turn it up. I'm ready. So with Eshu being placed on the outside of your door, that's kind of symbolic to the children of Eshu because they like to be outside. They don't like to sit still. Think of Eshu with that childlike energy, like I said before. When offerings are made to him, he likes candy. He likes sweets. It's very childlike. So you know the energy a child has, like, I don't want to sit still, I want to go outside and play, I want to do this, well, what you doing over there, I want to do this, I want to do that. That childlike energy is mostly displayed in the children of their Eshu Legba because they're always on the go and that child energy is always heightened. They always want to do something. They like to stay busy. You will notice with the children of their Eshu Legba, they know how to crack jokes and have a good time. But I just like to make this correlation. You know how the real goofy, funny people, when they snap, it's like they turn into a totally different person. That's why when people are goofy and laughing all jokey, I'm like, yeah, I'm watching you because, you know, they got the short fuse, they got the short temper. That is associated with Eshu Legba. He can be fun, very childlike. He has childlike energy. But piss him off. Just do that and watch what happens. And that's the same thing with the children of Eshu Legba. They can be fun. They're good to hang around. But when you piss them off, it's like, okay, I got to go. With that Eshu Legba, it's two sides. And what zodiac sign do you know that has two sides? Of course, Gemini, me. And I must admit that this is kind of true. You could be goofy. You could be smiling. But make us mad. Make us mad. And, of course, yeah, your zodiac sign has nothing to do with your relationship. I just always like to relate the personality traits. Just to bring everything full circle, because I personally believe anything in spirituality is somehow related to another. It all is connected somehow, some way. I feel like everything is a constellation when it deals with spirituality. One thing deals with another. This will lead you to that, and that's what makes it full circle. Although it doesn't mean, hey, I'm a Gemini, Papa Legba has my head. No, it won't work that easy, but just associating the personality traits. In this case, the two sides, it could be happy, very childlike, just like a Gemini. But when you pick us off, it's like, whoa, what happened to the girl that was just so happy over here eating a cupcake? Who is this? Also, with the children of Eshu Legba, you don't want to tell them your business because, like I said before, they're tricksters. But if you're talking about Michelle, they're going to be like, Michelle did what? Oh, my gosh. Michelle, you know she said this about you, right? Just so they could cause a fight and sit back and be like, ooh, what? Kind of like a little instigator. So you want to make sure that you don't put them in your mix too much just because they simply like playing tricks. So they're always going to be up to something. So you really have to be careful when you're around. Not saying that's me. I'm just saying the children of Eshu Legba tend to have that trait with them. So I hope this video helped you realize that they're both the same spirit, just different roles that they play all in one. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this video. And as I always say, As above, so below, as within, so without, as the universal, the soul, and the from that coming God, I say,
beautiful. All
right.
Yeah. That was great. Talking about the Gemini, I'm a Gemini myself. And a Kochi in Eshu, I'm not sure if that's true about the Gemini as far as Eshu is concerned, but either way, you know, what I am finding is that some energies are, like, naturally attracted to you or you're naturally attracted to them, you know. And these are two energies in which, you know, because I can be all of them. Yeah, personally. Matter of fact, this 2022, I've seen parts of my shadow self that I was like, whoa. You know what I mean? So, hey. All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. But again, remember to do your own research. All links are going to be in the show notes, you guys. I'm having fun here. Hope you guys are having fun, too. I love having fun and learning. So thank you for listening to Spiritual Cold Sunday. Now, lastly, the spiritual revolution is in full effect, okay? Now, I love her. I love the goddess warrior energy. You know, some people have reservations and, you know, who they listen to or however. You know what I mean? Why am I feeling the need to have a disclaimer? Because most people, again, have reservations, you know, of who they ingest. You know what I'm saying? But I just want that priestess Aset Ra Amen, right? And she's great. I love her energy. You know what I'm saying? The high and the low, the good and the bad, the warrior, the destructive. You know, I like it all. You know what I mean? I was bred, you know, by warrior women, so I love this energy, and I respect, you know, how she says and how she displays it, guys. So she's one of my favorites. So I just want to share this lecture. It's funny because this lecture, it was sticking out to me for weeks, and I did not know how to put – I did not want to do this Orishas this weekend, right? But I was following orders, like, okay, even though you're still learning, you know, just do it. So – you know, I hope you guys like it because I just put it together, not last minute, but I put it together divinely, actually. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense with this. Why am I putting this with this and this and this? You know, but it all makes sense. So to go out the spiritual revolution, so what I feel is that there's an urgency for us to understand what the fuck is really going on the planet, all right? So I hope you guys enjoy, and I'll be back to close out.
I'm going to move. There is some wild ass energy to the planet. And I don't know how many of y'all are feeling this shit, but it's on. It's on like motherfucking Donkey Kong. Okay? Light up a little candle, being a little intense here. And this is, let me see if I can pull this up a little soft and what? Also, I do my reading. Okay, so I will show you what I have. In the corner over here, I have my Tiamat altar, the great primordial mother Tiamat. And I was given this nice set of flowers yesterday by a little sister who is in Atlanta, and she wanted to come and meet me. So she brought me this. I'm actually going to put it on my center more the altar, because I already got one over here. Because I have another sister, a priestess in my circle, that bought me a flower. Put that on my Tiamat altar. Now, over here, let's see if I have my Azuri Azuri Okay. Because, you know, we love to redo in Northern Corn because there is a meaning. Redo, it gets shit done. Feel me? So this is where I do my reading, my odo, and all of that. So I'm just going to throw a quick odo right quick. Let's see this going. What's the word? I'm in this mood where it's like the frequency, it's not like. The frequency is actually raised. And my psychic gifts have been expanded as if that was motherfucking possible. I mean, I can walk through realms, meditate, go up on other planets. I have come into contact with angels, demons, werewolves, vampires. You name it, I've seen it. Genies, all of that. So I was like, yo, this is where, you know, I'm looking at folks. And I'm just seeing all kinds of crazy shit walking with people. Like the recent Pope that died the other day. And all I can see is there's some real crazy people. Go into detail because we save assholes on YouTube. He's demonetizing my channel. But I will soon be up off of here. So this is my, let me see. This is where I do my OD reading for people. I have my, that throw my OD. So I'm just going to roll just one throw. I'm not even going to do two throws. I'm just going to do one throw. Just gonna see, okay. Oh, dude. Goddess, oh, dude. Yeah, me, Ache. What messages do you have for the collective? Well, I got time because I am a high priestess of the soon. Okay, oh, dude. What message do you have for the collective? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And with this 7, we are dealing with OD. You know what, it makes sense. Because this is, and let me see if I can get a, this particular Oju, it is 7 mouths that's open. I'm going to make sure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And this is called OG, OGI. And it is talking about completion and reaping what was sown. Now, it makes perfect sense because a couple of the Orishas that speak through this is Ogun. The main Orisha is actually Yemaya, the great mother of the ocean, you know, teacher, healer, among many other things. And we're also in the number 7 year. Yo, that's a lot of shit. So number 7. And what has been revealed to me, this is the beginning of the demise of the infant Caucasian patriarchal empire on this planet. Okay? Let me just take off my glasses. Yeah. It is the beginning of the end for the patriarchy on this planet. And more so the infant Caucasoid. You know, no shade, because I'm an equal opportunity shade though, because before you Indian males out there pinch your nipples, you started this. Because when the infant was created, that you created in the Chemada scientist, Yaakov Benero, he worshipped you. Because when he was going over there in Sumeria, ancient Mesopotamia, you know, seeing your ass all up on the wall, you know, looking like LeBron James with a nice big-ass beard, you know, he loves you. He worships you. But because, you know, some of you all were such, most of you all were such wicked black devils that decided to go to war with the matriarchy because Tiamat was tired of the younger gods just running around fucking shit up, and she pretty much wanted to end them. And so there was a conversation that was overheard, and it was like, yo, let's roll on this step up right here, right? And so pretty much. But what happened, long story short, because I'm not going to go into the whole story, because most of you already know, if you're looking at this channel, you pretty much should have done the research on ancient Mesopotamia, back to Kemet, you know, Kushites, Baptites, you know what I'm saying, all of this. So what has happened now? The earth is in the state it is because of the black god, okay? Because he was overthrown by the infant. And we should have stayed out of it and let them two battle it out. But no, here goes the black woman. I think that didn't save a whole shit, so we got caught up. So now what we are looking at in this number seven. Ooh, yo, check this shit out. You hear my phone? It just said Saturn time. And Saturn is number seven and number eight. Yo, you can't make this shit up. And so now we are going to see a lot of things being exposed. See the old you, old me, reaping what was sown, and a completion is coming to a complete. And this is the message that I got from the primordial source, that it is now begun. For you pinching nipples, that don't mean it's going to end anytime soon, even though we're in a time of accelerated, you know, energy. And I have never in my 55 years felt such an intense energy. Normally, floods of energy will come in the planet, it lasts for about a couple of weeks and it leaves. I've been feeling like this since last summer. And it is so intense that sometimes when it hits, it like paralyzes for a few seconds and you're like, you can't move. And what is the feeling? It's like I am in a constant state of deja vu of past, present, and future simultaneously all at once. Yo, this is some wild shit. I never felt this. And usually, I am an extremely psychic person, very psychically sensitive. I have all the gifts. Clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience. What, Almond Ron? What?
Going to Walmart.
You going to Walmart?
Yes.
So where's my car keys? You were the last one that had them. I might have put them back in my pocketbook. You might just have to look for them. They're in my room.
Exactly where they're at. I'm just asking you before I take it.
Where are you going back to Walmart for?
You need stuff for the carpet and we need water.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Oh, you're not paying for it?
No.
Oh.
All that money that I'm using is going. I have to pay $70 to catch an Uber, $70 to check in my bag, $7.30 to get from grandma's apartment. So, you want to?
Okay, you can have my bank card, but just buy only what's necessary.
Because
you already know I'm pissed off at you.
Listen, we don't have to do
this. Yeah, we're not doing this on my channel, but you already know I'm ready to fight you, nigga. I am ready to fight you.
I'm going to go get your card.
Because if you were the nigga out in the street, we'd be fighting. Because you just real did some real fuck shit that I did not appreciate. It's making me look at you sideways. And this is my beloved son. But I think that's fair. This is my son. Okay, but but you're here. You know, I mean, you know, well, you're my neighbor. I'm really trying to impress these regular, regular hoes on planet Earth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, anyway, the download that I've gotten from the primordial mother is that it's on lifemotherfucking.com. In this year, 2023, it begins now. Okay? Just one second. Did you bring my bank card?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, we are now in what the Kabbalion talks about, one of the principles of cause and effect. This means you people out there have got to try to stay as positive as you can mentally. Now, this is Jamaica, come on. You know what I mean? Just say it.
There's that positive balance again, guys. Your mind, right? It all starts in your mind. Okay? I wanted to say, The Kabbalion. If any of you guys need the book, The Kabbalion, I have it on PDF. So email the podcast, email the show, go to my link tree. I think it's the last link in the show notes. Go to my link tree, send me an email, and I will definitely get the PDF of Kabbalion to you. But it's on YouTube, guys. It's, you know, remember, do your own research, right? But The Kabbalion is a very important book. I'm personally going to go back and reread that, well, not reread, but the audiobook, guys. Audiobook, you don't even have to buy the books anymore, right? Oh, you ain't, it's audio. But if you want it on PDF just for your library, email the show, enhancingawarenessradio@gmail.com, and I'll definitely send it to you, okay? For free, free PDF. All right.
No, we all go through shit. You know what I'm saying? Because just last night I was ready to fight my son. I mean, fight him like a Negro that I've been with. You know what I'm saying? Because basically the Negro stole my gun. One of my guns. And didn't tell me. And, like, because we knew the gun for, like, you're not in the gang, you're not in the streets. And I told you, you're not getting a gun. And you took my shit anyway. And I just happened to go check the gun case, and I'm like, yeah, one of my guns is missing. So, and of course, you know, I don't know if he loaded it or not, but I knew I was waving around like a nasty, rich duck kid. Because he don't know where my girl is. Around or under search, because when my girl is, as spiritual as she is, it don't come those more spiritual than me. But I'm also not fucking crazy. Okay? And not crazy in the way of where westernized people look at mental illness, okay? Because actually, the human race is a traumatized species, okay? Because we have been through some shit. We're still going through shit. And there's the trauma, the legacy of slavery and racism and all this other shit. And all people have been through some crazy shit. But we in particular are the first gods on this planet, this here planet. Okay, the melanated Nubian gods, okay? And this planet belongs to the black woman because we were the first species, yeah. Okay? And so basically, you know, the principle of cause and effect is for you now to have your mind positive, because whatsoever you throw out can come right back. And you got to make sure that what you are doing, see, where it's at right now, where it's coming from, we are now in the age of, this is a number 7. And I didn't realize, you know, I thought my ass was 777. No, I'm actually 777. July, the 7 months, the 16th, 6 plus 1 equals 7. 1990, 1967. 1 plus 9 plus 6 equals 16. That's another 7. And the last 7. I'm another fucking quadruple number 7. That is, and you know, I was looking at that. I was like, God damn, that makes so much sense. I just did a stuff that I've encountered, experienced spiritually. You know? So, now, you can't make this shit up. I just thrown the OD, and it's OD. Completion. If things are getting ready to be completed. So, I don't even know what I was going for, looking at. But, and you will have to forgive me because I'm also in menopause. And menopause is a whole nother bag. It fucks up the woman's brain. You be in a supermarket in the goddamn line checking out your groceries and you just want to tear off your clothes like, please, somebody get 2 bags of ice and throw at me. You know what I'm saying? When it was cold as shit down here in Georgia, my sister was sleeping butt-ass naked with the window open and the fan on. Yo, it was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this menopause. And I'm not going to go to the doctor and take no medicine for it because some shit you just need to ride through. You know what I'm saying? So they're telling me I need to take medicine and, you know, to help with the symptoms. I'm not with that. You know, I'm going to look into natural holistic things as I've recently went back to being a vegetarian. I said at the start of the year, I'm just going to do the whole vegetarian stuff, and I started. Then so, you know, from here on out, it's just, you know, what it is. And it's getting darker and lighter because, you know, the sun's going up, she's going up and down. So now, the number 7. So let's check this shit right here. The number 7, which we're in. And I've done this because I've done the number 7. But this is spiritual awakening and awareness, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual development, inner wisdom, psychic ability, manifesting and manifestation. The planet is connected to a Saturn, the color, because every number has a color. You know what I'm saying? Saturn's color, violet, purple, and black. But the color of 7 is violet, purple, and gray. Okay? And so it has its negative and its positive side, you know. But number 7 is a magical vibration and is the number of occultic and the esoteric. Number 7s are secretive, mysterious, standoffish, all of which I am. Well, I'm, you know, very down to earth and welcoming, but when I detect some bullshit, I'm standoffish. Intuitive, introspective, have an outerworldly attitude. You know what I'm saying? Number 7 is, you know, has very strong psychic abilities and are natural healers. It's the energy of the mystics. You feel me? And it goes into a lot of stuff. So this is the energy that we are in this year. And even though they say we're in 2023, let's keep it real. We don't really know what day and time it is, really. And time really is an illusion, day and time. But what you do know is that your ass came in here on a certain day. I'm a number 7, so this applies to me. So now you're supposed to be working on your numbers. You know what I'm saying? The day you were born, like I'm the 16th, so 6 plus 1 equals 7. And the number 1 is connected to the sun. The number 6 is connected to the planet Venus. And the number 7 is connected to the planet Saturn, okay? So the download was we are in the time of seeing the end of the Caucasian rulership on this planet. Their empires, it's going to be a lot of secrets coming out, being revealed, a lot of fucking scandalization. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. And this don't mean, you know, well, spiritualists, we don't jump in shit because, you know, we have no, whatever the hell that word is, one way or the other. We have no interest or, there's a friggin' word, I can't remember, you know what I'm saying? But you all probably know the word. We have no stake in the matter one way or the other, because if you're a spiritualist, you already know how things roll, how things are going, you know, and your goal is to do like our ancient Kemetic ancestors. It wasn't about this life. It was a preparation for the next life. I've already gotten my next assignment, and when I transition up off of here, I'm going to East Africa. You know what I'm saying? I'm not coming back to America. I'm not going back to Jamaica. You know what I'm saying? Apparently, and there's a particular place I'm going. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just here for it. And in the meantime, the downloads has been, you know, we are going to see a changing of the guards. Things are going to change. The number seven that is ruled over by Saturn, she's the crone mother. And as you sow, have you have been sowing on this planet, you're going to start to reap. Hold on, let me spin the door. Hathor! I know her as him. Hathor! Yo, Minoya Irma Star, come here. I'm going to get her to plug in the lens so it's not so dark. I just felt like putting on one of my, you know, Baron Smitty hats because, you know, I'm just in that mood today. You know, but, yo, get the lamp. Don't see it. That's all. I'm plugging to me. So put it right there. So, because, you know, the sun shall go in and out and it just get dark and then it get light. Okay, I'm going to do it. Because I got the Urzuli Vivi, you know, curtain covering. So, you know, and this is the front room. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you just hear that? Or what was that? Okay, don't let me have to hear it again now. Oh, good. Ah, good. I have a pinch my head. Yeah. So now, for all you spiritualists out there, you got to get your ass ready. You understand? Because what's getting ready to happen now, I feel bad for the people that who are, you know, have not spiritual, because some of them are going to be jolted, awakened. You understand? It's a massive spiritual awakening, keeping the entire planet, because actually the planet, she has been at her lowest vibrational level. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, now Mother Earth, she's tired, and it's a bunch of people getting taken off, and we are not yet in the state of bringing in these new souls. What the energy now is, if you are not vibrating on the frequency of love, righteousness, kindness, compassion for your fellow human, the earth, your fellow animal, sentient beings, yo, it's just not going to be nice for you here if you're even going to be here. You feel me? It has now begun. It begins, and this is what it is, the number seven. And you can't make this shit up. We're in a seven-year cycle. I throw the OD just to ask a message. And OD came up, the number seven. And this is Saturn. And even though Yamaya is the mother of healing and the mother, she has a few different paths. Some of which are warriors, you know, because there is a polarity. Just like Ogun that rules over police, military, you know what I'm saying? You know, people who work in the prison system, people who work in train conductors, iron workers, gunsmiths, even, you know, like a brain surgeon, farmer. But Ogun can rule over the assassin, you know what I'm saying? You know, the snipers, stuff like that. Everything has its polarity, just like night and day. Because even though the number seven are extremely spiritual beings, we do have our polarity because, yes, we are working with the ascended masters and the light workers, and we're here to teach the world spirituality, you know, to tap into higher souls. The void of dogma and all the bullshit like the Pisces, you know. We also have our side. Because we the boss down king and queen when we decide to come for more folks. You know what I'm saying? We need no stone unturned coming for that ass. You know? And so, you know, it is what it is. So now it is time for folks to really get on your spiritual A game. And as a spiritualist, I am here to empower and to inspire, not enable, because a lot of people are still vibrating on that Piscean age of looking for a messiah to lead them. No, you lead in your damn self. You are your own messiah. You are the author of your life. You're writing your book of life. You're scripting it. How do you want to see it? We are merely guides. You know what I'm saying? And we are not here to be, and while I'm saying this, to the people who keep calling my phone 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, let me tell you something. I have a family. I am a divorced, single woman, live by myself with my children. I don't know what the hell you think you're going to call me 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night to talk about, because I will cut your ass clean out, because that is not disrespectful. Because some people just feel like because you're a spiritualist or you do a video, you know what I'm saying, on YouTube or something, they feel like, you know, like you're on speed dial. I've had people calling me like emergency. I'm not 911. Where they do that at? You know what I'm saying? This is not what this is about. There are no quick spells. There are exceptions to the rule. But when you call in somebody's house 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, that is disrespectful. What do you think? Somebody's going to answer the phone and go, hi. Just to you, oh, my God, please stop that. I ran across your videos on YouTube, and I just want to. How are the mama a bomba blood clot? This is a lot for. As I'm going to always say, boop, boop, boop. You know, I have to discipline myself to not answer the phone. Do not answer the phone. Because bipolar Betty is ever in the cut waiting for a mofo to step out of your lane. You know what I'm saying? And people should realize that as spiritual as you are, there is that other side. Don't get that shit twisted. Because we are the leaders of the new school. And we ain't that type of spiritual where the bullshit-ass indoctrination of the Bible that they used to put people under. So that was written by black women, the Bible, the Torah, the Quran. And they went in and changed she into a he and did all manners of fuckery, you know, and, oh, turn the other cheek. Because in essence, what happened, you were defanged and declawed from where, you know what I'm saying? People could do anything to you, and you just take it with a smile and turn the other cheek. Because you're going to get your reward in heaven. Fuck that. You understand? This is hell. This is where you come to elevate. Okay? There is no reward in heaven. You are expected to protect yourself, but you are expected to be just, because some people want to run on this path and, you know, learn some stuff and think they're going to just start throwing at people. A lot of people are going through shit because y'all done did some real unrighteous, reckless shit out here with the spirituality, and now you got all kinds of shit on your ass. You know what I'm saying? This, if ever there was a time that you need to be righteous, because you're going to see all of these fake-ass spiritualists, all these fake-ass, you know, Babalaw, Yanifov, God, whether or not they were initiated, that's out here taking advantage of the people, ripping people off, oh, they about to get there. And when their bitch-ass die off the planet, guess what? Your kids got to live underneath that frequency. I don't know who in their right mind would do the shit that some of these people are out here doing. Like straight just ripping people off, taking advantage of people. I'm not saying as a spiritualist, you know, we didn't take a vow of poverty. We own nothing. But what that means is that nothing owns us. We're not in crutch. You know what I'm saying? Even if Mariah Carey was to come to my ass for a reading, or Beyonce, or even Michelle Obama, who I pinched my motherfucking nipples to. You know what I'm saying? I would still not be impressed, because at the end of the day, you are a human being. You use a toilet just like I do. The only difference between you and I is that you have money and you have a notoriety of a fame. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, this is what it is. It begins now. So people got to make sure that they are on their spiritual A game. You need to make sure that you are spiritual. popping. You understand? And as the ending of the empires, you know, because these hating assholes on YouTube, you know, they be demonetizing my channel, and I thought I got to go in and fix some shit. And so I'm going to be getting my own podcast because I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not here for none of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And as of now, our set temple ministry has now been filed with the state of Georgia, and it is now up and running. You know what I'm saying? I was just only going to do the Aset Temple Ministry because it was supposed to be Aset Goddess Ministry. But, you know, I'm going to include the males, you know, the righteous males. So those of you who are out there, don't stroke your dicks and pinch your nipples and think you come in here with the fuckery, because it's not. Because the priest in my circle that I've been mentoring for years, Obu El Ra, you know, Malik, something Miller, it's a bunch of them. I can't even think of everybody else offhand. You know, and even the little Haitian one, I just kicked out of my circle. I just had to block him because he's going to have to learn to find out if they'll sit your ass down, because, nigga, I'm not here for none of that. You know what I'm saying? I can't deal with people that are just, the secret to this is inner peace. Inner peace. And learning the fine art of go sit your ass down on planet Earth. Because we're not supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We don't have to involve ourselves in the goings on, and none of this shit concerns us. We are a different breed. You understand? And what people are supposed to be studying right now is the motherfucking Kabbalion, because it's on right now. It's all about the mental magic. You feel me what I'm saying? So, I'm probably all over the place with this video, but this is just what it is. I don't, you know, sit down. Sometimes I'll make a little note, but I don't really plan out what I'm going to say. I just get on and I'm like, yo, let's go. Whatever spirit wants me to say, that's what I'm going to say. The seven hermetic support, okay? This is where, number one, the principle of mentalism, okay? All is mind. The all is mind. The universe is mental, baby. Okay? That's number one. Number two, the principle of corresponding. As above, so below. This is where we're at now. We are fully in the Kabbalion. Number three, the principle of vibration. Nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. This is why when you become awake, I did a video, are you sure you want to become awake? Because when you become awake, the third principle of vibration kicks in. You will never hear silence, because you will realize every fucking thing vibrates. Even a rock you see out there, it's vibrating. Everything has its frequency. You ain't gonna never hear silence, because silence really is when you are deep, deep asleep. And you don't have the clear audience, you know, to hear or the clear sentience to sense, any of those. So you're physically, mentally dead. But once you become awakened, all these principles are kicking in, even if you can't explain it. Number four, the principle of polarity. Everything has its duality. Everything has its opposite. Like and unlike are the same. You know what I'm saying? To various degrees. You understand? Okay. Now we come to number five, the principle of rhythm. Everything flows. Everything has a rhythm. You understand? Everything swings like a pendulum going left to right. This thing going side to side is a note. Up and down is a yes. In a circle, maybe, ask another time, okay? Everything has its rhythm, okay? Number six, we're right now, the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. You understand? Everything happens according to law. Nobody escapes the shit, even when you die. There's another side over there where you will be judged. You understand? The final seven, the principle of gender. gender is in everything, masculine and feminine. You understand? So it don't matter what the hell you want to do with yourself. You understand? Because I've seen, and no shade, some shade, elemental P crew, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got too much acronym for me to keep track of. It's just too much. Because y'all got 10 different titles for one regular, regular human being. You know what I'm saying? Y'all doing my fucking most. So it's either you male or female. You know what I'm saying? And you either say you want to transition, whatever. That's the A. Make it happen. Whatever. Because I am not here to, I am just here passing through. Every human being has the decision to do what they want. But understand that there are laws that govern this universe. This entire universe here. Cosmic law, universal law, ancestral law, earthly law, spiritual law. You feel me? And so at the end of the day, what is now vibrating right now? The frequency is love, kindness, compassion, righteousness, empathy for your fellow humans. You know what I'm saying? You deserve empathy anyway, because some of folks just don't deserve it. Okay? Not what I'm talking, I'm feeling this guy. Above and below. Yo, this energy shift, the shift, there's been another shift on the planet that took place. And I remember a few months ago, I was coming out of public supermarket, those sleeping raggedy hoes. And as I walked into the parking lot, I saw the frequency shift, and I was like, oh, shit. And it's like, it has really begun. Because, you know, dear, we have been going through this. So many changes have been happening on this planet, and I'm just going to segue from the spiritual and throw shade on some hoes on this planet. Like China the other day. Kim Jong-un, whatever the fuck his name is, and sitting by some big-ass military warhead. Aren't you hoes tired of war on this planet? Vladimir Putin doing, fucking with the Ukrainians, and even though the Ukrainians, they're a racist-ass bunch anyway, let's not go into your fucking history, okay? And so, it's men. Just imagine, 2023, we still are waging wars with our neighbors. At what point do we evolve from that? You hoes have been waging war on this planet for centuries. At what point does it come to an end? Because the planet is tired. And while we're on it, let's segue back into the spiritual. Who you know? It would take only three of us, to go out in the woods, form a circle around the tree, bow our heads and do some shamalama ding dong with our sacred hecker and deactivate every single nuclear weapon in either Russia or China or wherever. We are that powerful. That's why they keep your ass, you know, in a state of stress, worrying about bills, the news. It's always, you know, always all kinds of fuckery going on, and to keep you fighting against each other, to keep you hopped up on celebrity worship, to keep it just, everything is done to take your frequency and put it somewhere. Democrat, Republican, right wing, left wing, same fucking bird. I'm not impressed with either of these hoes, even though I did donate a little bit of money to Katie Porter's thing, and if I was to be a party, it wouldn't be in Democratic hoes, you know, even though the Republican Party, which was started by the Republic of the People, the black abolitionists, that's been taken over by a bunch of soft-cock old white men, dusty-ass Bram Stoker Dracula. Yeah, they'll probably demonetize this video, but you know what? I'm not here for twists and lights, you know, because most of my thoughts have been used up on planet Earth. And I noticed certain videos, because these hoes on YouTube, they don't want people to really be putting the info out there, because it benefits them to keep you asleep and to be caught up in the fuckery so that your energy, because on this path, the currency that we use is energy. And it's all about your frequency. Because whatsoever, like I had a young lady call me, she says, oh my God, priestess, I want to do a money ritual and, you know, a quick money ritual. Okay, first of all, there is some things that go into money ritual. Are you even vibrating on that frequency? When was the last time you took a spiritual bath? What is the state of your mind? Because there's nothing outside itself other than the materialistic shit and all the other bullshit. But everything that you need spiritually is inside. Anything that you desire, you got to be vibrating on that frequency. And if you're vibrating on fear, insecurity, lack of self-confidence and all this shit, you really can't manifest what it is. And anyone has the ability, listen, this is not about you living in a mansion, rolling on dough. If that's what you want, you can attain that too. You just got to be vibrating on that frequency and put all of your energy towards that. That's never been my, I grew up as a Rastafarian, and as a Naya Bingi Rasta, Obia Boka, okay, we're not impressed. You understand? As long as we ain't out on the street selling ass for a place to live or fucking make, you know, to pay our bills, we're good. You know what I'm saying? And it don't mean we got to live in a crab shack, which currently I'm renting a crab shack. But that's going to change soon, because I've never really gave too much of a fuck of, you know, getting out of a crab shack. But I think I've reached my limit. So anyway, we're not impressed with things, because it's all about here. That when we transition up off of here, we're not earthbound, spirit trapped, miserable. Because, you know, when I started doing ancestral work about 30 years ago, what I heard, and it was the wildest shit, what I heard clear as a bell on the ancestral realm, it took this descendant to set us free. It's my little owl right here, representation of the Iyanu Ache. And so that's what I heard. It took this generation, it took this descendant to set us free, because I had ancestors, like I said in past videos, and I'll say again, that walk with me like, you see this? Well, people walk, they hang with when I was a stupid, me, teacher, uncle. So, you know, they hung all four of them. So they was angry and pissed off and shit. So it had to take my black ass to come along, because even though my mama was rich, her mama, their mama, they hopped up on Jesus' shoes, and they can hide out in the church all they want. You're all witches. We come out of a particular bloodline of Iyami. Okay? And so, you know, I began to do the work, and it took me quite a few years to elevate them, because I did a video a while back that a stream of energy had flooded the planet, and it was some ritual that was supposed to be done once a month for 1 year that normally would take 10 years to elevate the ancestors, because not only do I tap into my own ancestral frequency, I tap into the ancestral of the collective Nubian race, and they know me over there. I'm a necromancer, you know what I'm saying? And so the thing was, at some point, the work will be done. You're not going to be doing ancestral work for the rest of your life. No, because at some point the work is done, because they have been able to transition to move on to where they can begin their next incarnation. But before that, if no work has been done, they are literally earthbound spirits here, pissed off, okay? And some will attach themselves to descendants and make your lives a living hell. You know what I'm saying? Some of them, it's all kinds of shit going down with their descendants until, you know, you get a clue. And, you know, like I always tell people, and I'm not touting my horn, because let me tell you something. First of all, this school of spiritual kung fu masters, we ride like the monks. You see the monks, you know, like two of my favorite monks, Brother Insight, and I forgot the other one's name. Excuse me. With his sexy ass. I just got over RSV a few weeks ago. And, you know, you look at the monks, and they just got, you know, and even some of these spiritual brothers that are very humble and down to earth, and they got all this wisdom and this knowledge. But you run up on a monk, and you got to take a deer. He can kill you with one finger, because all you got to do is touch a pressure point. You know what I'm saying? That, to me, is the sexiest thing. That, you know, that, you can kill somebody who should be already in this high, turned on. Peace, money, peace, dementia. You know what I'm saying? That's all. As spiritual kung fu master, we're very humble, we're very down to earth. You know, because here's the thing, insecurity is loud. Lack of confidence is loud. Because when you truly have power, you're truly powerful, and you walk in, you know, with some hot shit, you don't need to be running around here with an S on your chest. You're humble. You know what I'm saying? You just, you know, like, yo. You know, the pajama pants. And be there and just going outside showering on hoes. You know what I'm saying? In my Walmart gear. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to impress the regular regulars on Planet Earth. You know? Yeah. Slow down. We have got to be on our spiritual A game. What folks need to be diving off into, if you haven't before, is learn the Kabbalah and master that shit. Because this is the age of mental magic, baby. Yes, I know. La Santísima Santa Muerte. And even though I'm Mexican, Santa Muerte rolled up on her. What I'm going to say, but Santa Muerte, I'm Mexican. Because she rolled up on me and was like, yo, what's up? Let's roll. And I'm like, yo, let's roll. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what it is. And so, you know, we are in the age of mentalism. All is wrong. And so what this is, what this is about your ass shape-shifting your frequency. So when you walk into a room that's mad negative, you can adjust your frequency to shift the energy in that room. Remember what Yahshua said. Where one and two of you are gathered, there I am also. That means to say, one and two of you, the energy is here. You understand? Because we are in tune with nature, with the ear. You're walking on the earth. There's light underneath your foot, giving off a certain frequency. You're breathing in the air, it's a certain frequency. The tree is a certain frequency that they're emitting. Everything is frequency. If it can take just three of us to deactivate nuclear weapons on this planet, first of all, you don't need everybody, because when it says many are called but few are chosen, there's a reason for that. Because if we have 5% of the population on planet Earth in different countries, vibrating on the same frequency at the same time, literally, you could shift the shit overnight. And so in this age of Saturn, what is happening is the mother is raising up her daughter and her son, okay? And this is about shifting the frequency. And now this is all about going within. Yes, of course, we can still light our candles and our incense. Well, incense, you ain't going to get away from, because that's spirit-type energy. To purify, and I just ordered some charcoal bags. Where's the fucking charcoal bags that I've had around here to purify the air? Okay. So, this is what it is. You understand? I have some bamboo charcoal around here to purify the air. What it is all about these 7 different principles. It makes sense there's 7. Because there's something very powerful about that number 7. You understand? And this is the Saturnian Evan. When the Saturnian energy, when they were dancing around in Egypt, this is the age of Aquarius. We have been in the age of Aquarius for a while. Whose ancient ruler is Saturn? Don't listen to Saturn, Uranus. It's Saturn. Okay? The Hindus know what the hell they're talking about. You know? And the other folks, too. You have sown. You will reap. Saturn is about karma. Your karma. The principle of cause and effect. What you sow, that which you must reap. Whether you reap it here or not, life, it doesn't matter. There is no escaping the law. Nobody escapes it. You understand? And it begins now. I think on December 21st was the end of the Mayan calendar. It's another frequency that just came in. And the age of Aquarius been in. We have been in the age of Aquarius for a while now. This is now Saturn's energy, and we need to be vibrating on that frequency. Because if we are vibrating on that frequency, they can't do shit. You understand? Because, like Jamaican said, I got a beach right now. Vibration a beach. Principle and frequency a beach. Because this is the currency that you're using. So when you go within and you tap in with higher self, that is always in touch with universal, cosmic, ancestral, earthly, and spiritual forces. You are tapped in. You can be walking down the street in a meditative state, tapped in, and your frequency is great. A mad-ass pit bull would want to run up on you to bite you, and you bypass your ass, go bite the other people, because your frequency is too high. And the frequency you're vibrating on will repel that frequency that animal is vibrating on, because the animal senses fear, and it excites them. It makes them pinch their nipples. You know what I'm saying? Like Hustle and Aru's father got his first soul before he made his transition. And he was in Jamaica in a car. And he's a big 6'4", 6'3", big black, green, mild dude. And a Negro ran up on him. Well, you know, Jamaica said, don't be no for frightened. And he just sat in the car calmly. He was like, yo, what, boss man? The nigga ran up on him with a gun. He was like, yo, what, boss man? I'm Jim Malouf. And that Negro backed the fuck up. Because you already know. You ain't got no fear. You'll find a nigga too. You know what I'm saying? I said, maybe you can try your push, you know. I might have to invoke him tonight and get some spirit. Get a peace. A spirit peace. Yes, I hope to see him in the next lifetime too. Because in this lifetime, I'll decide peace. So it'll be nice in the next lifetime. I'm going to make peace. And he can get a side piece. Because I don't want no more kids in the next lifetime. I have fucking been there, done that. And I love all five of my children and my grandchildren. But I realize that's where my children rotten in the sense of entitlement. You know, except for my little doobie. He has a sense of entitlement. But I know he don't, you know what I'm saying, look at me like, oh, you old fart, you old bad, yo. Just give me $200 and go sit the fuck down, you know. He genuinely, they love me, you know, but it's a special relationship because in a past life, him and I were, you know, we were married. And he couldn't come back as my husband this time, so he chose to come back as my son. So we have a very special relationship. You know, but Amin Ra, he just, you know, did some fuck shit and just made me look at him sideways. So now I'm just giving him all kind of side eye. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I feel like she did some false shifts. And I love them all, but I'm like, next lifetime, it's been hard. It's been a hard road being, you know, a single mother. So we've been married a couple of times, but, you know, I just never had any luck with dudes. It's been, my love life has been like a Pat Benatar song, Love is a Battlefield. You know what I'm saying? It was not meant to be in this lifetime, and I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, I'm a loner any goddamn way. you know, so it's all good. But next lifetime. And I'll be the main piece and the inside piece. I have a couple of kids, you know what I'm saying? But, because he was also a male witch. So it was good. But now, I hope you all are taking notes. And for those people that run across my videos and like, oh, yes, you said something at the end of your videos, you can go back and press replay. I don't know if you think I'm going to come back like a video I did 5 years later. And, you know, sometimes I'll respond. But sometimes if you are that lazy, this path is not for you, sweetie. Because on this path, this is a path for spiritual kung fu monks. This is why I use old school kung fu movies. Because if you want to join Shaolin Temple and you want to learn the crane style, the tiger style, you got to train. And I am that old kung fu master without the beard, you know, or the lace front that Nicki Minaj be wearing, looking like an old kung fu master. Girl, really? Y'all look foolish out in these streets. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? We're the kung fu master that, you know, trains you. That's key to it, because we are here to make sure that you embrace your spiritual birthright. This is your birthright. And we are here to empower and to inspire you to your spiritual greatness so that you can join the school of the Kung Fu Spiritual Masters. Ain't nobody here, there is no enabling. And yes, you know, some people got more spiritual gifts than others. But you will have enough spiritual gifts as to where you can be proficient in all of the occult. You understand? All of the occult. Because to be proficient in the occult, you have to have spiritual gifts. Everyone is born with some form of psychic ability. Some people are more enhanced, but everyone has psychic ability. Everyone, listen, if I'm walking on the same earth that you're walking on, okay? I'm breathing the same air you're breathing in. I'm looking up at the same big, beautiful blue sky. What does that mean? You, too, have access to source. But the difference between me and you is that I've spent years training my friends throughout this thing. You understand? And I am my biggest investment. I have been my biggest spiritual investment. You got to be your biggest spiritual investment. And if you have done enough work, you too can be tapped in, be reading stuff, you know, be seeing stuff. It's within all of us. Because this is what the planet is. This planet is a giant crystal, and crystals magnify positive or negative. This is why it's good to find out the type of crystal you're supposed to be working with, because they have billions of information that's been buried in Mother Earth. Belly, and it's up to you to access, right? This nice piece of selenite. And selenite is just wonderful because it can clear any psychic blocks. It is excellent for meditating. It is excellent for tapping in. It is excellent for appearing here in your auric field where your energy is leaking out. You get selenite wands going over your body and even holding it in your hands. You think it's holding it in your hands and meditating. You don't want to take it down because I'm about to try and fall into another realm. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go, you know, wings sprouting out. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual wings. You know what I'm saying? Go flying off into the stratosphere. So I felt myself being taken. I felt myself getting ready to trance off and just start flying. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing a video. And then, you know, we have, well, this is the Numite. This is a Numite stone. This is another powerful stone that's over 3 billion years old. And this is like black obsidian, you know, that shields your ass from the psychic vampires. You know, well, as black tourmaline. And this is a big-ass bowl of crystal because we're not messing around. We're fucking around in these spiritual streets. You got to stay spiritually strapped out in these streets, okay? Because, like I said, it's about to be on like motherfucking Donkey Kong. And if you ain't ready, I don't know what to tell you. And you have enough information because it's not only me. You know, we got Bobby Hennett left the Trova videos. You got Panic. You got, what's her name? The Virgo? What the fuck is her name? Hold on, let me look. You got Dr. Toshi. And I'll put up a bunch of people. Dr. Mumbai Saraki. You know what I'm saying? Elevated something. What the hell is her name? The Virgo chick. She cut off her hair. You know? And even though I may not agree with what everybody said, because you're not going to agree with what everybody, ooh, it's Jupiter time now. Should I have been on this bitch for an hour? I need to take my black ass on. I think she's called Elevated, E-L-E-L-V-A-T-E-D, Elevated, she's a Virgo. I forgot. I can't remember her name. But there's a bunch of spiritualists on here on YouTube. There is tons of spiritualists. And there is a firebrand spiritualist like myself, you know what I'm saying? Certain people like Panic. Myself, and there is a few that, you know, we don't sugarcoat shit, and we keep it live, raw, and in living color. You know what I'm saying? Not here for clicks and likes. There is the brother Dane Calloway that's on here, you know, that's telling y'all about your Native American past. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, there is so many spiritualists on here. Now, you're not going to agree with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I practice 11 different spiritual paths. I am just able to bring it underneath one umbrella because I take what I like from, you know, different paths, and I incorporate it because I am an eclectic spiritualist, and I like different things. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what it is. I'm trying to find that, you know, it's so many of them. You know, that's one here that is really putting out this message. There's a chick from Rasseki Arts Temple. I don't know what's going on with her, but she, you know, the Nawabians got a channel on here, you know, that is, you know, Malachi Zodok was one of the greatest master teachers of this motherfucking century. You know what I'm saying? That lit a treasure trove. You got, Adrian Elise, you got Molly McCord that is on it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they do the astrology. And there's different forms of numerology, gematria. I don't get into that. I know about that, but, you know, I'm not here to decode every goddamn thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just not, you know. Some stuff is like, okay, I leave that to other folks. I ain't got to get into everything. And so there is a ton of spiritualists on here, and you don't have to agree with everybody because I don't agree with everybody, but, you know, if they got some good stuff, you know, Heather Ainsworth, she's another good one. She does the astrology, you know, and, I mean, this is something to keep on top of, you know. Because we need to know what's going on when things are shifting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, there's a few people on here. Because even Dr. Mumbai Saraki, I just donated like $200 to her thing, you know, Dr. Tashi. I don't know if she has donation. I haven't donated to her, but whatever, you know, I feel spirit leads me to give, you know what I'm saying? You know, then there's my old teacher that I put up some stuff on my community page that she does the Kabbalah. So there is some stuff. You know, these are all sciences that you learn, you know, going within, like the Kabbalion, the Kabbalah. Hold on. Oh, shit. Let me turn this shit off. Oh, no. Damn, I don't know what the hell this is. What is this? The Wu-Tang Brothers Collection.
All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and cut it right there. Awesome, awesome, awesome teacher she is. So, everything is in the show notes, guys. So, be sure to go in the show notes. But very powerful information on, you know, some of the cosmic things that may be going on in this realm, you know. And how does it resonate with you, right? So, hope you enjoyed this lecture, guys. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please join me every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here in Enhancing Awareness Radio. Yeah, I love you guys. I enjoy you guys, and I enjoy learning with you guys. So a lot of that information, you know, it's a lot of shit I know, but I'm humble enough to know that I am not never too big to be a student. You know what I mean? So. Just something to leave you with is when it comes to karma, when it comes to balancing, when it comes to, you know, always feel to do it for you. You know what I'm saying? Do it for yourself and do it for you first. You know, not what you did to other people, not feeling guilty, not feeling shame, you know, not feeling all of these self-defeating and self-destructive thoughts that come on autopilot in our minds, right? But redirecting that with, you know what is some of the healing or the things that I ignored all my life? You know what I mean? If you love who you are, if you love being a bitch, great. You know, if you love being a destructive warrior who just does nothing but that, great. You know what I mean? But what I feel is happening, you know, when it comes to cosmic law and cosmic order, I don't think any of our little human minds can trump that, correct? So with that being said, it may be wise, as people always tell me, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I listen when people say it may be wise, and sometimes I don't, right? Although, it may be wise for us to listen to my eyes in this now moment. You know who my idea is? Go do your research. All right, guys. Till next time. Peace.
Oh, say, can you see? I'm coming to America.